I received a book a couple months ago that was called Black Friday. And in it, this may not sound relevant, but it is, I found it was a picture book of dead malls. And the two most prominent ones in the country, one of them is the hometown where I grew up, Akron, Ohio, called Rolling Acres. I shopped there a few times. And the other one is in Cleveland called I've forgotten the name, something city. And that was the largest mall in the country. Five department stores, hundreds of shops on three levels, beautiful on the inside, absolutely empty. And so the one in Akron was called Rotting Acres. It got so bad, they finally tore it down last year. And looking at that, I think we don't understand where it was that Jesus was placed. And this is the Son of God. This is the trial of God. The people in the story don't even know. Christ says himself in another gospel, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're killing the creator of life on earth. Through him, everything was made. The one who walked in the garden, he comes into this creation so deformed that it doesn't recognize him. And the place where they put him, if you go to Calvary today, it's been venerated since the first century. It was so venerated that when the Romans rebuilt Jerusalem after the fall, they put a pagan goddess, I believe it was Aphrodite, on top of Calvary to keep Christians from going there. And then when Constantine legalized Christianity, he put the first church there, which there is one now today that's different. It doesn't look like a hill. There's nothing left of it. But if you look at when Jesus was there, they put him, Passover was the largest feast of the year. All the Jews from all over Israel and many from all over the diaspora from throughout the Roman Empire made the long journey, and there were only three gates you could get in. So Jesus and these two unfortunate individuals were placed right by that gate. Now today the gates at the walls have changed, of course, but in Jesus' time, right outside the city gate, you might as well have put him right in the center of a mall where the Christmas tree would go at Christmas. This is where he was, and he was naked. And if you can imagine the humiliation, and they wanted him to be humiliated. They wanted him to be tortured to death. They wanted him to suffer. And they've also made sure to go by and let him know who it was that put him there, that they had won. They spat on him and jeered at him. Can you imagine that he put up with that? And he could have come off the cross anytime he wanted to, and he didn't. He was right in the middle of that mall. But if you go 40 years later, just like these malls, they're dead malls. Everybody's gone because Jerusalem was destroyed. And you can't ever see this again. The people weren't there anymore. And it was because of that choice that day that nation, they lost their nation because the way that they chose was wrong. They didn't want Christ because he represented change to the reality. He was an innocent man. And you look at the chief priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they get together. They won't even go into the Praetorium, which was a building we believe that was right off the Temple Mount. There, everything was destroyed after the revolution, but they wouldn't go in. If they went into this pagan place, they couldn't celebrate Passover. So to remain ritually pure, they stay outside. You see movies of this. Pilate will come out onto a platform. They're not afraid to condemn an innocent man to the most horrible death known in the Roman Empire, but they're afraid of getting impure for the Passover. Look at the hypocrisy of this moment, the irony of these people claiming to be religious leaders who are not afraid to put an innocent man to death to save their own way of life. And this is, it suddenly becomes a very modern story. I think when we look at John's gospel, John is the gospel of Jesus, the Son of God. In it, you see, right at the very beginning, he says twice, he says, who are you looking for? He says that to all of us, doesn't he? That's life. What are you looking for? Scientists are looking for life on other planets to see if we're unique. we're looking for some meaning to our life, we're looking for stuff to make us happy, and it doesn't after a while, but we're all looking for meaning. In those malls 40 years ago, people were crammed. There's pictures of, you couldn't put a car there. Where did these people go? But they were looking for something, and they couldn't find it there. That's why it closed. Jesus is the answer, and nobody knew. When he says, I am, that means, I am God. They picked it up. And then they fell to the ground. John notices that they all fell back. You see, Jesus couldn't be arrested without his permission. He had 12 legions of angels could have come immediately. This is the trial of God. And I think really, in the end, this is the story of every human heart. We've all been to the mall, you know, and really they're all dead malls, aren't they? We can't find answers there. But who wanted to find Jesus, the Son of God, naked on a cross where everybody jeered at him? Who in the world recognized him for who he was? Well, Mary Magdalene did. His mother did. There were a couple of women there. John came back. The rest of the disciples betrayed him or abandoned him. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he forgave them. Remember what the second reading said, let us approach the font of grace and mercy to receive timely help in a time of salvation. I can tell you, I heard confessions for 2 weeks. That's a big workout, and I can't remember even one person that came in. But there were quite a few that came in after 20, 30, even 40 years. And maybe some of you are here tonight. I don't know. But there's the throne of grace and mercy. Jesus is waiting to be recognized. He's, you know, we really find him in the poor people of Syria, those Christians, and the ones bombed in Egypt. You really see it there. But in our own society, there's always unfortunate people in our own family that are suffering, people that are sick, people that need something. We ourselves are like Christ. We're in the story too. This is a story of us. We're like him. We are, you know, something always gets us in the end. So we want to know that God is with us. And Jesus, this is his definitive answer to us. We say, Lord, do you love me? You haven't answered any of my prayers. He says, I did. I died for you. Don't you trust me? Don't you know I'm going to give you everything besides? You know, we're like Simon the Cyrenian carrying the cross. We hear on Palm Sunday going with him. Each gospel writer gives us a few things that they alone remember of that day that they heard. And John is giving us the theology of Jesus, the Son of God. But look at what happened to him. I always think, which side would I have been on? I'm afraid I might have been on the ones that jeered at him. But I would come back, I hope, and he would forgive me. We've all been in that position. Jesus isn't here to condemn us. He's here to forgive us. We've all crucified him at times with our sins, but we thank God that he loves us. And he still waits for us to find him, whether it is on the cross, as we see here in church, or as the resurrection and the life, which we see 3 days from now. And so we thank, or 2.5 days from now, we now thank God for the grace and gift of our faith that we have been loved by Jesus.